You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
A lot of reaction from yesterday. Kevin Harlan from CBS, their great announcer, was on, and I had Fritzy do his Kevin Harlan impersonation with a couple of football calls, and that was a lot of fun. Kevin had a great time there. And Todd, you did a pretty good Kevin Harlan impersonation.
Thanks. I thought he was awesome that we sent him the script of a couple of calls, and he was a good sport to play along like that. Very cool.
Can we play a little bit of that? Do we have the final call between Todd Fritz and Kevin Harlan? Final round here to decide the Kevin Harlan game.
If you're just joining us, Patrick Mahomes is at it once again. The Chiefs trailed by 20 at one point. Now they're down just 4 with under a minute to go. The single setback, Edwards-Helaire. Mahomes rolls back. He's got Travis Kelce in the back corner. Both feet in. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Wow, that was a great call, Kev. I mean, I'm not sure who made that call. Here's the final call.
If you're just joining us, Mahomes is at it again. Chiefs trail by 20. Now they're down just 4 with under a minute to go. The single back is Edwards-Helaire. Mahomes rolls right. He's got Kelce in the back corner. Both feet in. Touchdown. The Chiefs have scored.
You know, you had Sunday enthusiasm, and Kevin Harlan did not.
What happened there? That was the broadcaster for the team playing against the Chiefs.
But he had the Thursday enthusiasm. You had game day enthusiasm. And you sounded more like Kevin Harlan than Kevin Harlan. Yes, Seton.
So it's more like Kevin was calling a Thursday game.
Yeah.
Those are usually about as exciting.
Yeah, not as exciting. And last night was not too exciting either. The Dolphs beat up the Jaguars. Pac-12, Mountain West are going to play this fall. The Mid-American Conference will decide either today or tomorrow. Lakers up 3-1. They go for the series clinching win on Saturday. And LeBron back in the NBA Finals. Miami Heat try to put away the Boston Celtics tonight, up 3-1 as well. We welcome those in who are watching on Peacock. You can download the app and you can watch for free all 3 hours. And our radio affiliates around the country. Also say hello to Chat Row and Tyler, your moderator. McLovin, we're going to stay with the same poll question here.
We could switch it up. We asked if you should expand to 8 college football teams for the playoff, and now 80% say yes. So I think we have some popular movement there.
Yeah, I don't know why somebody would be a holdout here. I'm okay if they want to expand it to 8 teams, you know, given this year has been unprecedented. And you could get some more revenue back into some of these athletic departments. I'm okay with that. I also wondered about these MVP odds because, you know, we've seen that second-year quarterback make a jump, whether it's Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. Is Kyler Murray that player this year? Is Josh Allen going to be that guy? Right now, Russell Wilson is the leading candidate for the MVP. No players ever won the MVP while playing for a team with a losing record. Only 2 players have won it while playing on teams that missed the playoffs, and both of those were over 40 years ago, and both had decent team records. I know when O.J. rushed for 2,000 yards, the Bills went 9-5. Johnny Unitas in 1967, they lost the division tiebreaker to the Rams, both. The Colts were 11-1-2, and the Rams were 11-1-2. What are the odds of 2 teams in the same division ending up with 2 ties? But Johnny Unitas and O.J. Simpson won the award, even though they missed the playoffs. And that's, you know, that could hurt Kyler Murray because I don't know if Arizona is going to make the playoffs. Seattle's going to be there. Rams appear to be a little better than I thought. I thought that the Niners would take a step back. With these injuries, they're certainly taking a step back, at least in the first half of the season. Dak Prescott, they didn't even win the division last year. They got to win it this year if he's going to be up there for the MVP race. Aaron Rodgers is in the top 5. But if I was looking for a dark horse there, you know, Josh Allen would be a guy because if they win the division and put up, you know, maybe 11 wins and he has some good numbers there, then maybe he'd be the guy. He doesn't play in marquee games. He didn't get that standalone game. And I think that when he beat Dallas, when Buffalo beat Dallas last year, that was one of those coming out parties where we go, wow, Josh Allen, he's pretty good. Now, Josh Allen can giveth and taketh away. He's got to cut down on, I don't mind if you run, but if you run, make sure you protect yourself. And he does not protect himself. Cam Newton would be another guy that I would take a chance on if they win. He has a good story there as well. and you go to New England, you're replacing Tom Brady, nobody wanted you, and if you somehow would end up with 10 wins this year, put up some good numbers, some good rushing numbers. And, you know, I've had some Patriot fans say, you know, you always said that Tom Brady didn't have any weapons, but Cam Newton is throwing to those same weapons. And I said, well, I will say that what Belichick has done is establish the run with Cam, and that does help these guys who can't get open on their own very often. They have a better chance of some separation there. And we're going to find out if N'Keal Harry can actually play the position. Edelman, we know, can. They just kind of throw together wide receivers. And Cam, I think, giving that thought, that element of, you know, surprise of running, gives these wide receivers a little better opportunity to get open. Yeah, Paulie.
Not for the MVP, but for the month of August, the Rams could have an interesting month because the Rams are 2-0. No one picked them to be 2-0. They have Buffalo, then New York, Washington, San Francisco, Chicago, Miami. There's five very winnable games out of six.
Yep.
And San Francisco is hurt. So in their next six games, yeah, obviously they got a long way to go, but nobody talks about the Rams preseason after the burn of the Super Bowl a year and a half ago. But the Rams could have a really nice start, really good first half.
Yeah, and they have a great defense, or at least you have two marquee players at key positions on defense. And if Jared Goff is able to kind of reclaim that magic and Sean McVay, you know, maybe they're the surprise team. I expect Seattle to be there. Seattle's got to get better defensively. I don't know how you get better defensively. But it better happen, because it feels like in that division, you know, Arizona might steal one from you, and the Rams appear a little bit better, a little further along than we thought. Yeah, McLevin.
Don't I have an April May bet? I think I have a shower of shame or something crazy on the Rams winning the division. I'm almost sure. Paulie forced me to do it.
You said the Rams would win the division.
Win the division, yeah.
Am I on the receiving end?
No, you're not at all. It was a solo me. And I think I win something big, and I don't even know why I predicted it.
You win something big.
Yeah, I'll have Bob Schmidt, our sound guy, pull it. But I picked the Rams in May to win the division. I have no idea why.
If they were 0-2, would you be bringing
no,
this up?
No, I right never
now?
Would.
Okay,
I never would. Until Paulie read that soft schedule, I wasn't going to bring it up either. But now he's got me all in.
We'll talk to Michael Thompson. He does the radio analysis for the Lakers and get his thoughts on this team and how good they are. As they got by the Nuggets, it wasn't pretty. They won it at the free throw line, which was the total that I was keeping an eye on. LeBron and AD both going to the line over 10 times. Jokic got into foul trouble there. Jamal Murray is still tough to defend. LeBron, you know, I give LeBron credit. Here he is at age 35, and he wants to guard Jamal Murray, who's, what, 24, in the final 5 minutes of the game. He asked to do that and did a pretty good job on him. As he said, it's winning time, and I respect that. He went out there and did his best to slow down Jamal Murray, and they pick up the victory. Let me get a couple of phone calls in here. Kevin in Virginia. Hey, Kevin, what do you have for me today?
Morning, Dan.
Hey,
can I respond to the poll question?
Sure.
Instead of an 18 playoff, what if the NCAA did a 16 playoff? Each conference gets a bid, and there's one at large. Seeds 1 and 2 get a bye. 3 plays 6, 4 plays 5.
Well, I proposed that a while ago, and I think we're headed for that, Kevin. But yeah, you know, thanks for revisiting that. But I think that's where we're headed eventually. Yeah, Paul.
I would bet that the SEC would veto that one, because if the SEC saw that everyone gets one in, they think someone else is taking away a spot from them.
Yeah.
The SEC would think, okay, if there's a 16 playoff and we get one in plus one, it'll probably be ours, so we'll get two. They're thinking to themselves, if we have an 18 playoff, we get three teams in.
Yeah, but they're only one voice. They're only one vote at the table there.
Yeah.
And everybody else is going to go, hey, tough. You know, we got to get a Pac-12 school in there somehow.
The SEC has never been more powerful than they are currently.
Yeah, but they only have one vote at the table. They're powerful, but yeah. You know, what are these other commissioners going to say? Oh, okay. All right, we'll let you have three. It's just not going to happen. At least I wouldn't let it happen. I'm looking at the college football rankings. You know, I don't know what it's based on. Clemson is 2-0, so they're number one. Alabama hasn't played. They're number two. Oklahoma is 3. Georgia hasn't played their 4. Florida hasn't played their 5. LSU, 6. They haven't played. Notre Dame is 2-0. Their game this weekend was postponed due to COVID. Auburn hasn't played their 8. Texas, 1-0. They're 9. And then Texas A&M is 10. They haven't played. North Carolina's in there. Sure they are. The U is in there. Cincinnati. Cincinnati's got Army coming up this weekend. Is there any other stranger teams in here? Cincinnati's been in there before. Marshall's in the top 25. Army's in there. Virginia Tech hasn't played. They're in there. Let me see. Pittsburgh is in there. Army. What if Army goes undefeated? They could.
They're 2-0, and they've got a lot of mishmash teams coming up after Cincinnati. Abilene Christian.
Oh, don't sleep on that one.
The Citadel, UTSA, Mercer, Air Force, Tulane. The Army's going to run the table.
Yeah.
If you had a national title game of Army versus Alabama or Army versus Clemson, that would be the coolest.
I'll take Army in the first half.
There you go.
First half cover for Army. Absolutely. I also saw the NFL's top 10 backfields. Now, these are just running backs, aren't they, McLovin? This doesn't include your quarterback. This is current, right?
Yes, this is from NFL.com, top 10 backfield.
Okay. I keep saying the Browns have the best backfield in the NFL.
You've been saying that since last year you were high on Nick Chubb.
Okay,
I'm completely high.
Where do they rank?
I believe they are numero uno.
Numero uno. Okay.
Yes, they're one.
Okay. Where does... But see, they have two running backs. I'm trying to think, though, how many other teams have that diversity, that luxury there?
I'm looking... Now that I'm reading this list, there's some silly ones on here.
Like?
Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 4 with Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones. That's quick.
Well, you have to have two. If I'm saying the best backfields, you know, it feels like it's plural that there's two guys in there, you know, with the quarterback. So the backfields, you know, the best backfield is the best running back.
But Leonard Fournette got basically released, and Ronald Jones was always, people didn't trust him, remember?
Yeah, but Cam Newton got released too.
Unbelievable.
I mean, Leonard Fournette ran well last week. Packers got to be there, I guess, right?
They're 2.
Okay, but what's that based off of?
You're right. I like this one. Baltimore with J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, and Mark Ingram.
Okay. Now, that one I at least understand because you have three running backs there. Steelers got 2 running backs. You got Snell and you got James Conner. So I would think they might be in the picture as well. That's kind of a misleading top 10 list, it feels like.
Well, I think the guy is arguing that you need 2 running backs right now. That is the era of the running back by committee.
Yeah, I understand that, but...
No, this is one of the weirder lists.
Yeah, okay.
Rams with Malcolm Brown and Darrell Henderson? That's not even who they plan to have Cam Akers in there. He got hurt.
You sent me the list.
I know. I should have read it first.
All right.
By the way, we have a new interesting poll option from Paulie.
All right, let me get to Jesse in Wisconsin, and then we'll get to the interesting poll option. Hey, Jess, what do you have for me today?
DP, boys, how's she flowing?
Oh, everything's great. We got brats, and we got jambalaya.
Oh, solid, solid. You got a 5'10 slimming 198 going on here right now, by the way.
All
right. What I wanted to propose to you guys might not think of is save a couple of those brats and make a nice little scrambler in the morning.
That could be, that topic could be broached, but thank you there, Jesse. Some scrambled eggs with brats. Yes, McLovin.
Okay, all right. We're discussing this poll question.
Right.
Which should be permanent? A shorter Major League Baseball season, shorter NBA season, or college football starting a little later, late September instead of end of August, early September?
I don't want college football to start later. I'm okay with at the end of August, first week in September. I'm okay with that. Baseball, yeah, shorten the regular season. I'm for that. What was the other one?
NBA shortening.
I have to pick one or only get to pick one. I would pick baseball. That's just a slog. Baseball season's a slog. It's just like, oh, my God. Even the 60 games, as amazing as that may sound, felt like it was interminable. Like you just and they're speeding up the process. They got doubleheaders that are 7 innings. They're starting extra innings with a guy at second base. You're just going, are they at the postseason? When's postseason start? Who's in the postseason? And is it a best of three? Is it a best of five? Best of seven? And where are they going to be located? It was just like they threw it into a blender and just said, let's spin it, and then we'll pour it out, and then hopefully people will consume it. Yeah, Sudan.
If baseball didn't have regular season, how much more baseball would you watch? I bet a ton.
If they didn't have any regular season?
If they had like a quarter of a regular season.
Let's say they played
25 games.
Oh, no, they have to play more than that.
No, they don't.
Rest all your starters.
If they played 25 games, I'd watch so much baseball.
But you're not watching so much baseball now.
Yeah. But it doesn't matter. None of it matters.
Well, it kind of does.
Not really.
How about they cut down on the playoffs, the number of playoff teams, and then you have like each team plays 25 games, and then only a couple of teams get in.
They should either get rid of the regular season or get rid of the playoffs, one or the other.
Eliminate the regular season, everybody makes the playoffs.
Right, and it's just one long tournament.
Right.
Which is... Yes.
Yes, McClellan.
You're all lying. You guys wouldn't even watch that. Not a single person in this room is going to tune in until the World Series.
I watched four innings of a baseball game because I couldn't find a remote the other day. My daughter wouldn't help me look. True story.
Yes, Eden.
That's a lot of baseball to watch, Paul.
Four innings.
It was like three and a third.
How did you do it?
They switched pitchers and I got it.
I just think that you can't make a pitching change in the middle of an inning. Like that would be a rule that I would have. There'd be a few other ones in there. I'd make the game seven innings and no pitching change in the middle of an inning. Yes, Paul.
What if you had to swing at every pitch?
No. How about you get two strikes and three balls? How about that? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Yes, Todd.
But do you make a foul ball with two strikes, strike three, like as if
you're
bunting?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Or make it a live ball. Foul balls are now live, and they have to go in the stands. There's no people there. The first baseman, instead of just ending at the wall, he just goes into the stands. No one in there but a bunch of cardboard cutouts.
You can have an inside-the-park home run off a foul ball.
You can't find it under the seats. Make them go back to second.
Then you put your arms up. Remember, you'd go under the fence, and you put your arms up. Yeah. Like, you got to hold play.
No more of that.
In wiffle ball, when it goes into, like, a bush or something, you're trying to find it. You're like, hold on, I can't find it.
Put my hands up.
You're in row 18. There's plastic cups on the ground. Where's the ball?
All right, we'll take a break. We'll check in on the Lakers coming up. Michael Thompson, their radio analyst, will join us coming up. More of your phone calls as well. Take a break here, 19 after the hour. This is the Dan Patrick Show. Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed. 83% of couples sleeped on mattresses that are too hot or too cold. The new Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed creates your own personal microclimate. It balances the surface temperature so you stay sleeping comfortably. Compared to average sleepers, Sleep Number bed owners enjoy almost an hour's more sleep per night. And they have the data to back that up. You spend one-third of your life in bed. One of the most overlooked solutions for sleeping better is your mattress. And coming to the rescue, the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed, save up to $1,000 on a new 360 Smart Bed. Plus, smart adjustable base, proven quality sleep is game-changing sleep. Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL, and you can shop your way. You can go to a Sleep Number store online at sleepnumber.com/Patrick, or you can chat. But keep in mind, you got two beds in one, you control the climate, and one-third of your life is spent in that bed, on that mattress. Get the best bed you can buy, the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Get some more phone calls here. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com. I said yesterday I'm looking at the rebounding differential between the Lakers and Nuggets, and I was looking at how many free throws the Lakers shot, in particular LeBron. And LeBron and AD shot over 30 free throws combined. Here is the head coach of the Nuggets, Mike Malone, saying that he's going to do what Frank Vogel did.
Late in the game, I thought Jamal Murray attacked the basket a few times where it appeared to be contact. So we'll watch the film and we'll send our clips in and we'll reach out to the NBA and kind of make our points noted. And whether them going through the proper channels affected tonight or not, I have no idea. The NBA does a great job of listening, and then hopefully, you know, you hope that next game, maybe some of those fouls are called.
All right, that's Mike Malone. Next game coming up on Saturday. Michael Thompson, the Lakers radio analyst, two-time NBA champ, joining us on the program. Been a while, Michael. Thank you for getting up and joining us. Just a coincidence that the Lakers had all those free throws, or do you think this was something that was carried out premeditated?
Oh, no, not at all, Dan. And the Lakers came out much more aggressive in Game 4 than they did in Game 3. And they were rewarded for that aggression. They were attacking the basket. They were playing physical. And that's the nature of the NBA. And guys who play it and coach in this league for a long time should understand that. Sometimes the calls are going to go your way some games. Sometimes they're going to go against you. And that's just something you have to play through when you're not getting any calls. That's when you got to buckle down mentally, get more mentally tougher, and say, okay, we're not getting a call tonight. We got to find a way to win this game, as opposed to always looking at the referee and hoping to get bailed out. And that goes for the Lakers and the Nuggets.
I don't know if it's just because of the number of games they played in a finite amount of time in the bubble, but this is the first time I can remember seeing LeBron where I'm seeing an older LeBron. He still can be brilliant, take over a game. He knows his role. There was a good deal of time last night where he sort of faded out and wasn't a factor here. Am I reading too much into this, Michael, though? It has to catch up with him at some point, but it feels like he almost has to pick his spots a little more than he ever did before.
Sure, yes. He's 35 years of age, actually 19 years into his career, Dan, not 17, because you add in all the playoff games he's played. He's played 2 years of playoff basketball, so that's two extra years. So 19 years into his career, 35, and having to be the guy to carry a team, every team he's been on, that takes a large toll on your body. And sure, he has to pick his spot at 35 years of age, and there's nothing wrong with that. All the great players, Kobe, Michael Jordan, Kareem, they all had to do it at 35 to 40 years of age. So, and the good thing about LeBron is he's got the second best player in the game that he can depend on to carry the team, and Anthony Davis. So he doesn't have to carry it for 40 minutes like he had to in the past.
Why can't AD do this every night?
Because he's too unselfish. He's such a good teammate that if he demanded 25 shots a night, 30 shots a night, he'd put up these kind of numbers. That's how great and unstoppable he is, Dan. But he knows he has a bunch of other champions on his team, guys who've been there, done that, and LeBron, Danny Green, JaVale McGee, J.R. Smith, if he gets in the game. The Lakers have six champions, Rajon Rondo. They've got six guys on the team who been there, done that, and won championships. And he knows that, yeah, I can go out and be selfish and try to score 40 every night, but those guys that I have with me, they know how to win too. So he understands that, and he allows those guys to do their thing too.
Why do we still marvel at playoff Rondo, or we seem surprised with playoff Rondo?
Because a lot of people don't understand all the little things he does to help a team win a championship. He's tough-minded. He's a competitor. He'll go out and get the tough rebounds. He's still an excellent passer. He knows how to lead a team. He's been doing that since he was a rookie in Boston. And he doesn't put up the big numbers like a Steph or Damian Lillard or those type of guards. So people overlook him, and they don't understand all the little things he does to help a team win championships.
And he never looks like he's having any fun, Michael.
That's the intense look on it. Did Michael Jordan look like he was having fun, or Kobe when they were out there? That's the intensity that Rondo plays with, man. I love that about him.
Who is the role player that has to play well for this team to win a title?
Ooh, that's a great question, because the Lakers have so many good ones, from Alex Caruso to Dwight Howard to Kyle Kuzma. But I would say if you needed a guy to step up every night, especially to win the next round, they're all important. But if you made me single out one guy, I guess that would be Kuz, because Kuzma has the ability to come off the bench and give you 20 points and sort of do what Jerami Grant is doing for Denver in this series. Kuzma has the ability, the talent, the skills to get the Lakers 20 points a game, or 18 to 20 a game in the finals once they get there.
Let's move ahead. Let's just say the Miami Heat and the Lakers face off in the finals. Give me, like, handicap that matchup. Like, what kind of headaches, problems will the Heat give the Lakers?
Well, they're so well-balanced and so well-coached. They play tough defense. They spread the ball around. They're a lot like Denver. They move the ball well. They've got shooters all over the floor, especially now with the emergence of Tyler Hero. So they're a well-balanced team. They have a well-balanced attack. They don't depend on one guy to carry them every night. It could be Jimmy Butler one night, Dragic the next night. It could be Hero, the youngster showing up like this. Jay Crowder can knock down three. So they're a very versatile team that if that's the team the Lakers are going to play, and, of course, they're well-coached in that Pat Riley style.
He's Michael Thompson, the Lakers radio analyst, two-time NBA champ with the Lakers. Plus, if you had LeBron and he had to go back to Miami, now that would be a juicy storyline because those fans wouldn't be happy to see him. But the fact that they're going to be in the bubble, you know, you're going to neutralize that. Are you going to take that off the table? So that would be an advantage for the Lakers, but then they don't have that home court advantage. So it's probably evens itself out. You feel that way?
That's what makes these playoffs so different this year, Dan. Even though the Lakers are up 3-1, you know, just because they're not going back to L.A. for game five, you know, things are still up for grabs because they're playing on a neutral court, sort of a sterile court. So not being in front of your home fans makes all the difference in the world. And you're right. What an atmosphere that would have been for games 3 and 4 in Miami if LeBron was coming out there.
Oh, man.
We definitely miss it. We can't have this happen again.
Were you on the Lakers when Magic hit that hook shot in the Boston Garden?
You bet I was. I was right there on the bench, had a great view of it. I wish I was on the court with them, but that was like the last possession, so Riley got me out of the game so I wouldn't mess it up and put the rain back in.
Do you remember what the play was? Was Magic supposed to take that shot?
No, that was kind of like off of a we were looking inside the Kareem, but then Kevin McHale sort of switched out on Magic, and Magic said, you know what, I can take this guy off the dribble. And that's when he did that little running hook across the lane. You know what? If Magic would have missed that shot, if you look at that highlight again, if he would have missed that, Kareem was right there for the putback dunk because nobody blocked on Kareem. Robert Parrish and McHale went at Magic Johnson. So even if Magic missed, we were going to win because Kareem was going to tip it in or dunk it anyway.
How crazy was that atmosphere when you guys, you know, that game ended and then just trying to get to your locker room. And I remember being in that locker room and it was so hot in there, no air conditioning. It was so tight. It was just chaos in there. What do you remember about when that shot goes in?
How intense, you're right about how intense that whole scene was in the Boston Garden. How crazed those fans are, how much they love their Celtics, and how you could cut the atmosphere with a knife. It was so thick. The tension was so thick. Every minute of the game, even in warm-ups, you knew that this was just a totally different from just playing any kind of a regular game, going against the Celtics in Boston in the finals with the Lakers. Nothing in basketball would ever compare to that.
Tougher facing Magic or Bird?
Ooh, I'm going to go with Magic, of course. Cause to me, I mean, hey, Bird is Bird, man. You know, he was... He's among the all-time greats, 10 greatest to ever play the game, the way he competed. He wasn't out there to be friends with anybody. He wasn't shaking anybody's hand before the game. He was like Bill Laimbeer with more talent and not as dirty.
Did he talk trash to you?
If he did, I would try not to listen. But he would. He would tell you, you know, you shouldn't be on me. You can't guard me. Take this one with you and he'd knock a shot down on me. But I just tried to ignore it because there was nothing I could do about it anyway. So I didn't let it hurt my feelings.
Do you think your son is the best shooter in NBA history?
Of course I do. Of course, Dell thinks that Steph is. Bradley Beal's father thinks that he is. Lillard's father thinks that he is. But, yes, I mean, obviously, Clay is in the conversation, and he should be. I know this one thing, and I told him this, and I told other people this on the record and on the air. I think the Warriors, when they had Kevin Durant, they had the three greatest shooters on the same team in history. I don't see how anybody could dispute that.
Durant's a great shooter.
You're wondering about that? Didn't you watch him play with the Warriors? Didn't you see all those great shots he was knocking down from everywhere?
Yeah, he's a mid-range jumper, you know.
Did you see that three he knocked down to clinch the finals against in LeBron's face?
Yeah, I know.
Believe me. See, you are in the East Coast, so you're up too late or whatever. But I watch every Warriors game with KD. That man, it's uncanny how well he can shoot.
Michael,
I'll say it again.
Michael, I've been watching NBA games. I remember you in college. So I've watched a lot of basketball. And I think Kevin Durant is one of the top five shooters probably in the history of the game. I was just having a little bit of fun there. That's all.
Okay, just making sure you understand.
Little,
I don't know. That's why I don't know if we'll ever see a team like we saw the Warriors with three guys that got on the same team. I don't think we'll ever see that again.
I think that Steph has done more for the game than Michael Jordan did for the game.
Boy, that's huge to say that. I don't know. I mean, obviously Steph has been the face of the league for years. But I don't know, man. Michael Jordan, arguably the greatest player ever, is either him or Kareem.
But look at the impact, though, Steph has had, Michael. Everybody thinks, you have guys who've come into the league and they think they can be. Nobody thought they could be Michael Jordan. And
of course they did. Yes, they did. Carter, Kobe. What are you talking about?
No. But there are more people playing basketball, more kids playing basketball think they can be Steph Curry than they can be like Michael Jordan. Would you say that's fair?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
That's an impact. Like Trae Young is in the NBA. He's a byproduct of Steph Curry.
Yeah. Yeah, but Michael Jordan is responsible for Kobe. Kobe even said that. So how do you compare, say, guys like Trae Young wanted to be Steph, when you have guys like Kobe and Dwayne Wade who wanted to be Michael?
Yeah, but Dwayne Wade wasn't Michael. Kobe was pretty damn close to Michael. But there's only a couple of guys. There are more guys who have that ability to shoot deep because of Steph Curry. I just think his legacy will be he made it cool for smaller players to think they could play in the NBA, that you didn't have to jump out of the gym. You didn't have to be exceptionally big. And I think that's Steph Curry's legacy on this sport.
Oh, that's a great point. Yeah, because you're right. You look at Michael Jordan, and he was a physical specimen, 6'6", wiry, strong. You're right. Not every kid's going to be that way. But Steph, when he came into the league, he looked like he was one of the ball boys. And so that encourages other kids to say, if he can do it, I can do it. You're right about that.
But imagine if he played against the Celtics back then in the 80s. Like, what? How much would they have just, or the Pistons, bad boy? Like, they would have roughed him up, right? Because you could
rough him. Doesn't matter, Dan. Steph's a tough competitor. Just don't let his pretty boy looks and his handsome looks fool you. That man doesn't back down from anybody. And great players like Steph, they could play in any era. I don't care who he's playing against. What are you going to do? You can't stop the way he gets his shot off from that range. There's nothing to do with Steph.
Yeah, but you could put your hand on him. You know, you could be far more physical. So it'd be harder for him to get to his spot.
No, you can't. You know, see, you're not giving him credit the way he can dribble and get around guys. Steph's got some of the best ball handling skills you've ever seen. Him and Kyrie Irving, Isaiah Thomas, Tim Hardaway. Those guys, you can put your hands on them because of their ball handling ability. They can get away from you.
What if I have you and Clay versus Steph and Dell?
People always ask me that question, who would win? The Currys would kill us. Because they don't miss. They don't miss. See, I would be such a hindrance to Clay because I can't shoot like Dell. Dell would go around me. He would knock down threes. And as soon as the Thompsons miss, which I would do, then the Currys would take over. If it's hit it, take it, then they would win us. Like, if they were going to 11 by 1, they'd win us 9-2, and Clay would make the two shots.
But if I, at your peak, at in your prime, And Dell in his prime, how would you guys do?
Then going to 11 by 1, it would be 11-6 because I would miss, and Clay would be mad at me and wouldn't speak to me for weeks because I blew the game because I couldn't keep up with Dell. No, the Currys would beat us. I have a big ego, but I'm humble enough to admit the Currys would win.
Oh, it's great to catch up with you, Michael, as always. We appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, anytime, Dan. Always good to talk to you. You never turn down Dan the man.
Thank you, Michael. Michael Thompson, Lakers radio analyst, two-time NBA champ. Been a while since we've had him on, but God, that scene was so chaotic in the Boston Garden. And it was so hot in June in Boston. And they, you know, the crowd runs onto the floor, and you got the Lakers are just knocking people out of there just to get to the locker room. And then I went into the locker room because you're doing post-game coverage, and you're just trying to get interviews. And it was just crazy. Just crazy. Yeah, Paulie.
We're watching the clip over here right now. And you, after Magic's hook shot, you don't really remember what happened next because the place is going crazy. That didn't end the game.
Bird had a shot in the corner.
Right. Bird is being covered by
and
Michael.
Worthy. No, I thought Worthy lost him.
Kind of. Bird did this thing where he pretended he was cutting towards the basket, and he just stayed out there and did a total push-off off Michael Cooper. He had a great look from three, and he caught the back iron. And Bird just stands there for a second looking at it like he can't believe he missed.
Oh, yeah, and he should have hit that. Because that was that's what he does. Yeah, McLovin.
Michael was right. Kareem was wide open for the putback. Yeah. I didn't remember that either.
Yeah, I didn't either. I just remember when he made that hook shot and the Boston Garden went silent. Yeah, McLovin.
We're looking at the video. The crowd is so on top of the court. Do you remember it being very close?
Yes, extremely. Yeah. Like that was, that's one of those true home court advantages. And the benches are right there. And yeah, it was a, because that was when Larry and Magic at their peak and, you know, Kareem was still contributing and, you know, it was, that was some real, I don't know hatred, but there was certainly dislike there between those two. And that was a wonderful rivalry. Great. Great to have a, you know, up close seat watching that, you know, those games. Even when the Rockets had Akeem and Ralph Sampson and they played the Celtics in the Boston Garden. And Robert Reed, I think, was the guy who was guarding Larry Bird. And it was a lot of fun. McRae, one of the McRae brothers, not Scooter, Rodney McRae. Just great stuff. And I remember at the time, Craig Elo wasn't good enough to play for the Rockets. But he would work out for an hour prior to the game. And then you fast forward to Craig Elo becoming a starter for the Cleveland Cavaliers. And then he's the guy that gets posterized with Michael Jordan. When he hit that game-winning shot. All right, we'll take a break. Last call for phone calls. We'll close up shop after this, Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Last call for phone calls coming up. My thanks to Chip Kelly, UCLA, Michael Thompson, the Lakers radio analyst, Woody Page from Around the Horn and the Mothership here. All right, final results poll question, McLovin.
Okay, so we put up last hour, which do you want to stay permanent? Shorter NBA season, shorter MLB season, or late September start for college football? Shorter MLB, but it's close. A lot of people say shorter NBA as well.
This day in sports history, Paulie.
A bunch of them, Dan. 1965, Willie Mays at the age of 34 became the oldest man to hit 50 home runs in a season. He also had the record for being the youngest person to hit 40 home runs in a season, 50 home runs in a season at age 24. Wow. Satchel Paige at age 59 pitched 3 shutout innings versus the Boston Red Sox. 59.
And you wonder what he would have been like if he was given the opportunity to pitch. You know, you're doing that in your 50s. And, you know, we talk about Jackie Robinson. There were other players. Josh Gibson was the one that I would have been most curious about how great he would have been, because by all accounts, those who played with and against him in the Negro Leagues talked about him being a Babe Ruth-like player.
1993, Dan. Charles Barkley was the guest host of Saturday Night Live. Can you guess the musical guest? 1993. About as good as it gets. For 1993.
That's a good one.
Nirvana.
Nirvana is correct. Not Nirvana.
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 Sean Salisbury once said.
Yes.
2001, Michael Jordan.
The LL Cool J, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah, we had LL Cool J on, and Sean Salisbury was one of the co-hosts with me. And do you have the quote from Salisbury?
Salisbury was talking to LL Cool J. He goes, do you listen to other bands like Nirvana? And LL goes, Nirvana.
Nirvana.
That was a tough day.
Is that when Barkley beat up who's the purple stuffed animal?
Barney.
Barney.
Oh, yeah.
I think Barkley beat up Barney on that Saturday Night Live.
2001, Michael Jordan announced he would return to the NBA as a player for the Washington Wizards.
Mm.
2001.
Mm. Okay. Kyle in California joining us on the program. Kyle, welcome back. What do you have for me?
Hey, DP.
Hey, bud.
First thing, you're totally right on LeBron. He's not quite the same guy. He's exerting himself a lot more, especially on defense. You know, with those Cavs team, you know, stick him on Harrison Barnes or whatever, and he comes to play weak side. He can't really do that anymore. And then the whole Nuggets free throw thing, they've shot the same amount for 4 games. Before last night's game, the Nuggets have shot 12 more free throws than the Lakers. So if LeBron shoots 2 free throws in a game, I think I just go back to that quote Kyle Korver said, when he plays against LeBron, you think he gets every call. When you play with him, he doesn't get nearly enough.
And you're probably right, but I did say keep an eye on those totals for him. You know, AD has gone to the line, and I think they're the exact number of free throws in this series so far with these two teams. But as they move forward, does Denver get a little bit more leeway here coming up? And also, sometimes the team that just lost comes back and is more aggressive. And it's just natural. And I think you saw that with the Lakers. But it dawned on me last night, and having seen LeBron the first time I met him, he was still in high school, and he has played 19 seasons when you think about it, when he's played two full postseasons. It catches up with everybody. We know that. But sometimes it's dramatic. Sometimes it's very subtle. And with LeBron, I think it's been subtle. Last night was the first time I saw him where I went, he can't be what he once was, where you just take over a series. Now, he can take over a game. I don't know if he's capable of taking over a series. You know, maybe he proves me wrong against the Miami Heat. I still expect them to win the title. But this is where he's so smart. He understands he's got to I have to make sure Anthony Davis feels like he's the go-to guy. He's the star. I want him to be the best player on the floor. LeBron, deep down, feels like he's still the best player in the game. I mean, that's why he was saying, hey, I was PO'd that I didn't get many first-place votes for the MVP. I think deep down he knows what the Greek Freak did was more impressive, but we don't factor in LeBron doing what he did at this age. Degree of difficulty, I don't think factored into the MVP. I would have factored it in because I think what he did, you lead the league in assists, you go through the West, because remember, oh, he's got a ticket to the NBA Finals because he's in the East. I would still love to have the Lakers go into Miami if they were playing in the Finals. That's what I'll miss the most if those two teams face each other, just to see how the Miami Heat fans would react. But we're such hypocrites. Like, LeBron left us. You didn't feel bad for Cleveland when he left Cleveland. And then you just wait for, it's like a guy who, you know, he steals his wife from some other guy and then he complains when she leaves him. She left me. Yeah, she left some other dude too. All right, let's go around the room what we learned on the program. I'll start back left with Todd. You know, people are saying I should just drop the T. Like, don't drop one of the D's.
Oh, interesting.
And just do Odd Fritz.
Wow.
OD would be fun though.
Ooh. I'm ready, Todd.
Okay. Woody Page thinks it was crap that Frank Vogel and the Lakers had to grovel for more foul calls.
Grovel. McLovin, what did you learn today?
Chip Kelly compared Cam Newton to Charles Oakley.
Chip Kelly has been a great guest the last couple of times. Seton O'Connor, what did you learn?
Chip Kelly unimpressed with Tom Brady.
No.
No, that's not what he said. That's not what he said.
Brats and Jambalaya, the new surf and turf.
What we learned brought to you by LegalZoom during these unprecedented times. Rely on LegalZoom for legal help. Visit LegalZoom.com. Take care of the things you need to get done without having to leave your home. That's LegalZoom.com. Safe weekend, everybody. Look forward to talking to you on Monday. Dan Patrick Show.